You might remember the Old Testament story of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king most of his life. He was faithful and he was obedient to the Lord. He won some great victories, but he did not finish well. Remember, Hezekiah got sick, and his sickness was unto death. He was going to die, but he began to pray very earnestly, asking God that he would not die, that his life would be extended. And the Lord sent the prophet to say, Hezekiah, your prayers have been answered, and you're going to have 15 more years to live. And he rejoiced in that answer to prayer. He went about living his life, but he didn't do so well in those last 15 years. And one of the big mistakes that Hezekiah made is he had a visitor from Babylon, a son of the king of Babylon, who was the enemy of his enemy. And so they entered into an alliance, and Hezekiah showed the king's son all the treasuries there in Jerusalem, all the wealth and the resources. It was a foolish thing to do, an arrogant thing to do. He really was not trusting God, but taking matters into his own hands. And so Isaiah the prophet came to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, did you really do what I heard you did? You showed him all the treasuries? And Hezekiah admitted to that. And then in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 16, look what Isaiah says to Hezekiah. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons who shall issue from you, some of your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials. They will become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Now, this is spoken about 65 years before Daniel is born. Daniel is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he thought, it is not so if there will be peace, or is it not so if there will be peace and truth in my days? That's one of the most sad and selfish things we read in all of Scripture. The prophet says, Hezekiah, because of your foolishness, your children and grandchildren are going to be carried off and made eunuchs in a foreign land, and all that your father stored up is going to be carried away by the Babylonians. And Hezekiah's response this time is not to pray earnestly like he did for his own health, but to sit back down and get another glass of iced tea and say, well, it's not so bad because it won't happen till after I die. Shallow and selfish and short-sighted. And we need to admit that there's a little Hezekiah in all of us. We tend to think first and foremost about how's this going to impact me. Now, not later. Me, not others. My ease and comfort, not the big picture of the kingdom of God. And there are two verses that we have skipped over in the book of Daniel that I think help to hedge against the heart of Hezekiah and give us a little more broad and appropriate vision, especially as we study these prophecies of the end times. I want to look at two verses in Daniel tonight. One is the last verse of chapter 7, and the other is the last verse of chapter 8. You might have noticed both last week and this week, I skipped over both of these verses. But they're important. And both of them are verses that speak to us about how Daniel responded to these dreams and visions, this insight into the end times, into the future. And these two verses are very similar. One comes, they come after Daniel's dream and Daniel's vision. They come 2 years apart, but they're very similar. Let's read them both. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. Daniel says, my mind was alarmed. My face grew pale. I kept the matter in my heart. Talks about his mental, his physical, his emotional response. My mind is alarmed. My face grew pale. I kept the matter in my heart. And look what he says at the end of chapter 8 after his vision of the ram and the goat in the evening and the morning. Then I, Daniel, was exhausted and sick for days. Then I got up and carried on the king's business, but I was astounded. That word means desolate. I was ruined. I was wiped out at the vision. And there was none to explain it. There was none to make me understand it. Well, I just want to make a few observations from these two verses. This is kind of like, you know, what do you do on Sunday nights? You have a nice meal on Sunday morning, then you have leftover Sunday night, right? We're going to carve a little off the bone here, and with these two verses, have a little leftover meal that I think is important for us as we finish up the book of Daniel here the next few weeks. I want you to notice three things that we learn about Daniel in this season of visions concerning the future and the end times. First of all, notice the continuation of his daily service. I got up and I carried on the king's business, Daniel says. Daniel is almost living a kind of a double life. On the one hand, he has these deep insights, these wonderful visions. Yet on the other hand, he continues to carry daily responsibilities, serving Belshazzar, the king, a pagan king even. A deep walk with God, wonderful insights, but practical matters of his daily life that he describes in chapter 8, verse 27 as carrying on the king's business. And many old Bible commentators and preachers have noticed a glorious ambiguity in that phrase when Daniel says, I carried on the king's business. Because Daniel is a book about a lot of kings, right? Some of them are pagan, godless political kings of Babylon and Persia, but also the King of Kings, the Son of Man and the Ancient of Days. And when Daniel says, but I got up and continued to carry on the king's business, we ought to ask, which king is he talking about? And it reminds us that Daniel never stopped living his everyday life. That's an important thing to keep in mind when you're studying end times. I don't have to tell you that in the history of Christendom, there have been occasions when followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to faithfully understand the Word of God, have gotten so caught up in what the Bible teaches us about the end times and the return of Christ that they just stopped living their daily lives. They stopped their normal patterns of service. They just waited. And Daniel doesn't do that. One time Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, was asked a question, what would you do if you knew that this was the last day? And Luther replied, I would plant a tree. I think he was being provocative. He was saying, I would keep taking care of business. I wouldn't stop in my faithful service. The imminence of the end does not negate the value of our faithful labor. So Daniel teaches us day by day to carry on the king's business, to do the work that we have to do it all to the glory of God, and to be mindful of the king that we serve. When you leave the house tomorrow, if somebody asks you, what are you going to do today? You might could say, whatever the boss tells me to do. And just leave them to figure out which boss you're referring to. Carry out the king's business. There's this continuation of daily service. Second, I think it's important that we see at the end of verse 7 and the end of verse 8 in both of these dreams, visions, that Daniel's response is marked by confusion. Honestly, he's just a little bit confused. And this is Daniel, the prophet, the seer, Daniel full of a wisdom from God, Daniel that the greatest men on the earth relied upon to give them insight into dreams and vision. But even after, in chapter 8, when Gabriel explains his vision to him, Daniel still says that I was troubled in part because there was no one to explain it to me. So as he thinks about it, as he ponders it, he's still just a little bit confused. And be honest, that comforts us somewhat, doesn't it? Or maybe I'm the only one who can read and study Daniel and be just a little bit confused. Take heart, because Daniel was a little bit confused when he thought about the dreams and the visions that he was experiencing. This kind of biblical literature, this apocalyptic literature, is hard to understand. In fact, by design, it is unsettling. It is unclear. In the midst of a haziness and confusion, there are these brilliant flashes of revelation. They challenge our hearts. They challenge our minds. And Daniel says, part of the reason I'm troubled is that there was no one to explain it. I didn't fully understand all that I had seen. And we apply Daniel's confusion in a couple of ways, I think. One is, it cultivates humility in our hearts. Beware of the one who has all the answers and who finds it easy to explain every detail of these kind of passages with precision and clarity. It's hard to understand. And you're looking for someone who will at least admit that. Even as they're giving answers and explaining the text, it's a little bit confusing. Humility, and from Daniel's honest statement about being a little confused, we find gratitude. This is a remarkable thing to say, and I hesitate even to say it because it sounds so audacious, but we have more insight than Daniel. We have received and benefited from more revelation than Daniel. And one of the things we realize when we're reading the book of Daniel is God continued to reveal these truths to people down through the years, so that by the time you get to John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, some of what Daniel is just hinting at or speaking to, John is fleshing out in more detail. And so it is true, we with humble gratitude acknowledge, it is true that in some ways we understand more than Daniel understood. And we're going to see this coming especially in the next few weeks as we look at chapters 9 and 10 and 11. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Remember, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. things into which angels long to look. Peter says, listen, you have received what the prophets of old could only dream about. What was fuzzy to them and unclear now has been clearly proclaimed to you. And we respond to that with deep gratitude. So we see in these two kind of leftover verses, Daniel continuing in his daily life of service, Daniel acknowledging some confusion, but most of what we see at the end of chapter 7 and the end of chapter 8 is Daniel's compassion. Look again at how Daniel expresses his response to the dream of chapter 7 and the vision of chapter 8. Daniel describes his physical and his mental and his emotional burden in response to these dreams. Verse 28 of chapter 7, my thoughts were greatly alarming me. My face grew pale. I kept the matter to myself in my heart. And chapter 27 of verse 27 of chapter 8, I was exhausted. Literally, the text says, I was done in. It makes Daniel sound like he's from Arkansas, doesn't it? He said, I was done in. I've come from a long line of Arkansans, I can say that. I was exhausted. I was done in. He says, it made me sick for days. It affected him physically. I was astounded. That word means I was ruined. I was devastated. I was horrified by the vision. And this is very strong language at the end of both visions. And remember that Daniel has seen some glorious things, some great promises about God being on the throne and in control, in a victory in the end of days. But he is also dreaming dreams and seeing visions of generations of bondage and violence, of unspeakable suffering and ugly aggressors and aggression against God's people, and God's wrath and judgment poured out on men and nations. Hezekiah would have seen these dreams and visions and rolled over in bed and said, well, as long as I get to keep my government job, it'll be okay. But that's not how Daniel responded. He was impacted by this. He was moved by compassion, physically, mentally, emotionally burdened. And it is true that if we're not careful, when we study texts that speak about God's judgment on men and nations and the end of times, if we're not careful, we can become calloused to that. Do you know what Google is starting to tell us? The number one question, or at least one of the most commonly asked questions that Christians have about the end times is the question, will the church suffer the tribulation? Well, that's kind of interesting, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks to come, but it's interesting, isn't it, that we're the kind of people that when we think about the end times, that's the main thing we want to know? Am I going to suffer? That's really a kind of a Hezekiah type question, isn't it? Am I going to suffer? And if we're not careful, we remove ourselves from the judgment that Daniel's dreaming of, that we're reading about. And we study it with a kind of a desensitized heart, a calloused heart. The same way we do when we're watching the evening news and we see people starving or bloodied by violence and we just flip on to the next channel and go on with our lives. And one of the reasons why I think Daniel, as he writes these dreams and visions, takes the time at the end of chapter 7, at the end of chapter 8 to say, I was devastated by this. I felt sick. I couldn't stop thinking about it, and my heart was heavy with it. is he's causing us to at least tap the brakes a little bit and to consider that he's not just talking about history in the broad vision, but he's talking about real people, real men and women, real nations rising and following, falling and experiencing the judgment of God. In that sense, Daniel is a lot like Jesus. Remember, the city of Jerusalem rejected Jesus. And as he went into the city of Jerusalem to lay down his life on the cross of Calvary, he knew full well that their judgment was going to come in that generation. He predicted it. Not one stone will be set upon another. This city is going to be destroyed. These people are going to be judged. And even though they were a people who were despising and rejecting him and would soon crucify him, do you remember what Jesus did as he approached the city to enter it for that last time? Luke chapter 19 tells us that he looked over the city and he began to weep. Because he knew that their day of judgment was drawing near. And not only does the book of Daniel give us confidence and comfort about how God is on the throne, about how he will be glorified in the end days, but it also is a book that should give us a burden. Because the wrath of God is terrible. The judgment of God is real. And people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ are in a terrible situation. And our hearts should be moved with compassion, like our Lord Jesus and like we see from Daniel here in this text. And so, as we study the book of Daniel, not only do we want our minds engaged as we think about the future, not only do we want to be prepared mentally, remember like we said this morning, be alert, be ready, do not be surprised, be on guard, be aware. But we also want our hearts to be engaged and to respond with more of the compassion of Daniel, the compassion of our Lord, and not the shallow, surface selfishness of Hezekiah. Let's bow our heads together for prayer. Father, I thank you that Daniel picked up the burden. I thank you that Daniel, who could have been comfortable in his government job, secure to the end of his life, was willing to embrace the burden, to be heart sick over the suffering that he saw in the future for the people of God and for the nations of the earth. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be more like Daniel than Hezekiah. That you'd help us to see people who need the Lord Jesus, our neighbors and the nations. I pray that when we read the Bible about your wrath and judgment, their hearts would be heavy. That we would love people the way Jesus loved people. That we would weep over the fallen ones. I pray that you'd open our eyes to see your world and the people in it through this lens of your sacred word. We praise you because you are the Lord of hosts. You're the King of glories. You're the Ancient of Days seated on the throne. We praise you, Lord Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, Son of Man, coming on the clouds in judgment. We praise you, Holy Spirit, our comforter and teacher who guides us in all truth. Give us grace to be the people of God pleasing in your sight. Let's continue just a moment with heads bowed and eyes closed. We have a song of invitation this evening. My Jesus, I love thee. It's a good way to end our day of worship together. And for many of you, the best way to respond is just to sing this hymn as an expression of your love for the Lord Jesus. Some of you may want to come and kneel here at these front steps, pray, or come join in our church. Maybe come receiving Christ as Savior and Lord. Lord, this invitation is your opportunity. Let's stand together and sing, and you come.